KSCU Santa Clara presents. Two nerds answering the call to become KSCU DJs. Join them now on this incredible journey.
It's a trap!
Great
Scott!
New power is rising!
I got a bad feeling about this.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
There is no escape.
You will be assimilated.
Let me do. It is useless to resist.
Resistance is futile.
You will be deleted.
Exterminate!
Prepare for battle.
Exterminate!
It's a man out! A man out!
That's right, it is a madhouse because it is Robots Attack. I am Joe, and with me, as always, my co-host, Caleb.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, we are here today to present a special Robots Attack show.
A very special Robots Attack show.
That's right. If you like video games, you're going to love today's show.
We kicked everything else to the side for this.
For this. That's right, because it was E3 week.
Woo!
Yes, an overload of video game goodness. We're going to try and do our best to cover as much as we can on this show. But I will apologize now. There's no way in heck that we will be able to cover everything because there was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so much stuff.
So much stuff, it almost made my brain explode.
Yeah, there was too much stuff, and that was just covering the big three.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the third-party developers, and then Tiny Town, the independents.
Yeah.
Like, it's pandemonium out there.
We would need, like, a three-hour, four-hour show to cover everything. You know, like, 2 weeks to do it, but you know, we're going to try to do as much as we can here. And what we would like and hope is that you participate. And Caleb's going to tell you how.
That's right. You can find us on Twitter. Do Robots Attack Me. You can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack. Or if you happen to go to our website, robotsattack.me, up in the menu, there's a button called Interact that takes you to a page that has the way you can all the ways you can contact us: to Twitter, Facebook, and email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Please let us know what you are excited about, what you're interested in, what is a must buy, what is a complete pass. You know, we want to know what you are into.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to cover as much as we can, you know, hit the big three companies and all the third party stuff. But we want to hear from you too. Like, you know, what things you saw. I was like, oh man, I loved that trailer. Oh, that was so stinky. I don't think about, you know, don't even talk about that. But we want to hear from you so you can help us shape the show while we do it. And we will have, I know, in my normal introduction, I say, super guest, Super Jason. He's coming. He's coming. He's going to be here. So don't you fret. He's going to participate because we want to hear from his mind of video gameness, because
yes,
he's definitely into the video games as well.
Mm-hmm.
So until that time, what we're going to do is throw on some music, kind of get everybody pumped and ready, and this will give you the opportunity to go and check out some of those trailers or check out some of those things. So
exactly,
when we come back, you can be prepared with us.
That's right.
We're still deciding what we want to start off with.
Yeah.
We're gonna hit one of the big three conferences when we come back from the music break. So if you have a preference on which one you'd like us to hit first,
yeah,
go ahead and hit up all those things that Caleb mentioned, and we might take that into consideration and go that route. What
Indeed.
The viewers want.
Yes, let us know what you want.
Although if you email us like, I want to know everything about Lollipop Barbie Land, Well,
we might not be able to help you so much there, but we will do our best. We'll do a fast Google search, maybe.
Yeah, we'll try to make Google our friend.
Yeah,
in that case. But all right. Until Super Jason gets here, let's get to some music, because it's a nice day out. A little windy, but it's a nice. It's a good time for some music, and we're gonna start it off with Italian Japanese. That's right, the band Italian Japanese. With the track Corner Light from the album Italian Japanese. Well, that makes it easy.
Yeah, it makes it real easy.
For searching. All right. We are Robots Attack. Please come back. Stick with us. Check out all those video game things because we're doing a special show today. E3 special show. All right.
And now, back to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
Hello, everybody. Well, we have a little bit of an E3 wrap-up here. We're going to look at, to start off, some of the Microsoft stuff and talk about it a little bit. I thought it was kind of interesting that Microsoft is bringing back all of the old war horses. You have a little bit of Master Chief. You have a little bit of
Woo-hoo.
Gears of War.
And the fans rejoiced.
Right. And oddly enough, like a little flavor of Fable, too. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I remember seeing the preview for it at last E3 and wondering, how is that going to work?
Yeah.
It looked like shenanigans in that, incarnation, and it still looks a little like shenanigans in this incarnation, but now that it uses Kinect, so it's at least kind of interesting.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's what I got from the trailer.
Yeah, it's definitely not the most impressive thing to me. I'll start with Halo. It's like the big Xbox start of everything, kind of. Created the entire buzz for Xbox as a system to begin with before the 360, so we'll go with that.
Halo,
Xbox. Yeah, it's really interesting comparing the stuff that they were throwing out a while back with the stuff that they have now. It looks like they've put a lot more polish on exactly how the story's going to shape up and whatnot. And it was actually really cool seeing a little bit of gameplay of this game. Anybody who doesn't know anything about it, they're basically jumping into the future a little bit after all of the wars are all said and done. Honestly, I wasn't like the biggest Halo person in the world. I played through some of the stuff, played through 3, but never really related the story all that much. A big part of it was just like little weapons problems that never really jived with me.
Yeah.
But I was always impressed by how like large and overarching the saga seemed to be and whatnot. It seemed like it really mastered its own little niche.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it looks like this one is a lot bigger deal just because they're throwing in flavors of some new technology, I guess, related to kind of old ideas from
the Forerunners.
Right. But a lot cooler looking weapons that are actually kind of based more on more classic shooter weapons, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
But they have a really cool, like, Tron-ish look to them.
Yeah.
And I did like in the trailer when you see him, like, walk over and he picks it up, it's all like in pieces, and he, like, as he holds it, like, it forms up. It's like,
right.
Whoa. Yeah. That's a cool fact.
Yeah,
it's funny. It's like, I don't know if they're going to work in anything like it, but it kind of shot my brain back to the Republic Commando series that they had, where it was like one rifle that you could swap around different things. It doesn't seem like it's quite like that in this, but it's kind of neat at least having that effect, like it's building on the fly, and it's just a really cool idea for how to do things.
Yeah. I really liked when they were showing off on that trailer, the like when that enemy showed up.
Uh-huh.
And like the hovering thing behind him, and you threw the grenade,
yeah,
and caught it, and
that
it was like
cool.
Flinging it, and then threw it back at you. That was sweet. Or it would like throw a shield down in front of him,
mm-hmm.
And then like later on, the thing would warp, like so, you know, left to right, left to right, and then
The game AI, the enemy AI seems really interesting.
Yeah, it was funny. Like the very beginning of the actual playing footage kind of threw me off, because they bring back the Covenant and it looks like it's basically splintered, like leftover faction groups without armor and stuff like that. So it's kind of a neat look and everything, but it felt weird for me seeing Master Chief kind of looking like he was just picking off like Covenant civilians in a way. It's like, oh, those guys deserve killing. Blam, blam, blam.
The demon!
I remember you were right.
Pop, pop, pop. Yeah, so at first I was disappointed. Like, no, they're not going to go back at that again. I thought things were going to be completely different, and they delivered really quickly with something kind of new and interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's nice, too, having that sort of feel like, okay, maybe Master Chief might actually get overwhelmed by this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Because you never have that feeling in the previous games was another thing that I always kind of felt. Like, even when you'd have, like, just stacks and stacks and stacks of things coming at you, for some reason, it never felt like impending doom to me. But having like the little cutaways where he's switching to like predator vision and stuff like that and seeing things like crawling all about that you can't necessarily do anything against, that was kind of cool. I like the feel of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like, I think it's 343 Studios.
343 Industries.
Industries is like, it seemed like they're doing a good job. Like,
yeah. Cause I think 343 was the one that did Reach, I believe.
No,
that was
they
Bungie?
Did Halo Wars.
Halo Wars. Okay.
The RTS one, if memory serves. Reach, I believe, was the last like hurrah from Bungie.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They might have helped with it. That's a good possibility. But I believe Reach was sort of like the last hurrah for Bungie with the Halo universe.
All right. So
then it got turned over.
Because I thought they did one of the shooters before then.
What about ODST?
I think that might have been it.
I thought that was still Bungie also, but
I mean,
I could be wrong. I don't know specifically, but
yeah, just to give,
I mean, I think they were involved in those titles, but I think Bungie still had like the, sorry, I didn't mean to.
Oh, no problem. Just to give people out there a little idea of my feelings on Halo, ODST was easily my favorite feeling in that entire game series.
Yeah, and it
was cool just not being a super powerful, like, warlord, basically.
Just having a different, like, a completely different kind of game style, too,
right.
Was a neat little break. I mean, it wasn't, you know, this official Halo, you know, Master Chief thing.
Right.
But it was a nice sort of offshoot.
They
was...
did a really good job of making you feel like you were a scout. I mean, not somebody who's necessarily intended to go on and take on all comers type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like the weapons a lot better in that one, since from what I understand, it harkens way back to the first one as far as weapons. But anyway, just my sort of feeling on it. And so should we move on to the next game or anything else that you guys...
One last thing about 343. Apparently their first big claim to fame after taking over from Bungie on Reach was the Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition, where they went back and remade the whole game over again.
That's right.
So they have worked on an official Halo title before 4, but it was a remake of 1. So
yeah, and they worked like close with all the main Bungie guys on the universe. I mean, they wanted to, you know, really do a good job with this franchise and not just like...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then also with Bungie saying, you know, we're not going to make any more Halo, and Microsoft going, well, we kind of went more Halo, and 343 is like, we'll make more Halo.
Yeah.
So it's like, right. let's get these teams together.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's probably plenty of people out there that jump at that chance. Actually, the last thing that I did want to mention from that game is I thought it was really interesting, and I was really happy to see them come back with, I don't know if it's actually going to be the full opening cinematic for the game or if it's going to be just kind of the campaign for the game, mm-hmm. but having the real life people in, like, instead of having completely CG'd stuff. I always like that sort of thing. They did a really good job, I thought, in the little flavor things that they did, trying to get the movie made that never actually happened.
Oh, yeah, the one for Halo 2.
Right.
Yeah.
It adds so much more realism to it that I really enjoy that stuff. And again, I think they did it with ODST also with the ads for that.
Yeah, and I think they've Reach done it everything too, since. And, yeah, but they'll throw some live action ones and stuff. And yeah, I think, yeah, that game definitely is on my radar. I'm picking that one up. And I think there's, like, I think there's 4-player co-op again, and there's these new...
That would be wicked cool.
New, like, co-op missions that will... I guess the best way to describe it, at least from what I can tell, is it's sort of like the Call of Duty Elite. You know how they're releasing new Spec Ops missions?
I have heard about that. Yeah.
They're going to, like, release new missions continuously, like, for that game.
And treat it like a serialization almost. Yeah.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Oh, and apparently
yes.
Halo Wars was done by Ensemble Studios.
Oh, okay.
Someone on hit us up on Twitter, gave us a little correction.
Okay.
Thank you. Right, thank you, person.
Good to know. Okay.
So we'll jump directly from that to the next big kind of night at the round table of the Xbox universe and talk about the new Gears a little bit.
Before you jump in,
okay.
Just because we'll get into major details, let me get this PSA out of the way. I mean,
shoot,
tell you about some useful information.
Very important
The
stuff.
Jewish Film Festival. Experience the films, festivities, and special discussions at the 32nd Annual San Francisco Jewish Film Festival. The festival runs from July 19th through August 6th in Bay Area theaters. If you're interested, visit sfjff.org. All right. You may continue.
Okay. Well, it's probably actually, again, not perfect for me to bringing this up, but I'll start the ball rolling if nothing else, just because I haven't played through all the gear stuff. I definitely like a lot of the feeling that you get from playing the game. It's definitely a unique type of game, and there's nothing that gives you that sort of plodding... I don't know how to explain it because any way that you can explain that game makes it sound bad almost. Like, it makes it sound like it's slow and boring or something like that. But yeah, just trying to move this big hulk of a space marine type thing around and not get killed in the process is actually a really unique experience. I've heard comments from a lot of my friends also, so I don't think I'm alone on this, but the weapons didn't seem quite as perfectly balanced for that experience as I was hoping. It seemed like they were more relying on the idea of kind of chipping away at people instead of having, like, really amazing shots and stuff like that. But
it's a little more tactical movement around the field to make it work for you.
Right.
You had to rely on things like the long shot, like the sniper rifle. Like, if you wanted, you know, like, one-hit kills or, you know, major damage weapons, like the boom shot or the long shot, like, or the torque bow.
Yeah,
like, you had to be, like, really strategic with the heavier duty weapons versus, or you could do the, like, the shotgun rolls if you, with that. You know, that was a popular thing on the multiplayer, is rolling around with the shotgun and blasting people and stuff. So.
Makes sense. And it's funny because it's the games as a whole have evolved so much. after that, and I think a lot because of it, too. Like, I don't think you'd have Mass Effect multiplayer without Gears of War. It doesn't...
Yeah, the only thing that was close to that was Unreal Tournament in terms of, like, the wave-style gameplay.
Well, not just that, but, like, just the feel of...
coherent like teams?
A really... easy, coherent way of getting in and out of cover, and it being like your lifeline a lot of the time.
Yeah, the cover, the hunt and, the hunt and shoot and cover system is definitely a Gears, I guess innovation isn't quite the right word, but it's definitely they made that work as a game dynamic that anybody else really could get it right.
Yeah,
and it fits so well with that game too, just because having these big hulking things, it doesn't make sense to try and be sprinting around all light on your feet and everything. It makes more sense to turn yourself into, like, a mobile gun position and still, like, trying to move around for obvious reasons. But still, that feeling works perfectly with these giant guys, these giant suits of armor, and that sort of gunplay in general.
Yeah, I mean, just Gears of War 3 just, like, smooth everything out so nicely. Like, it's a blast to play. Like, just, I mean, it's difficult, like, if you've never played any of them before. Like, if you go back and start with one, like, you know, it's definitely flawed and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, man, when you hit 3, it's just, it fixes all those problems for me anyway, you know,
right,
for the most part. And so it's like, it's just a lot of fun.
So I guess we've come this far and not even actually said the name of the new game.
Judgment.
Right. Gears of War Judgment. It's pretty interesting because they're also doing something that feels kind of new, is jumping way, way back, like 15 years, I believe.
Yeah, it's like it takes place, I believe, like a little bit after Emergence Day.
Yeah. And
you play Baird. It's going to focus on Baird. And Cole, or Coltrane.
Yeah, his name. And they look really, really young. It's funny.
Yeah.
But it's definitely cool. like, especially Cole, like, looks so much different. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting, too, because they... I assume pretty standard multiplayer is going to be a part of it as well, but they had some pretty interesting ideas of how to take multiplayer in a different direction, too. They're going to have, for the first time, a class system for being able to do some pretty interesting things. It doesn't sound... The classes themselves don't sound like they're completely, like, blow-your-mind new type of stuff, but what it does that's kind of interesting is have a really full-featured mode where you have the locusts versus humans, and humans are obviously trying to just defend and save their own lives because there's tons and tons of locusts and hence crazy creatures and all of this other stuff. And so... It ends up being kind of a neat feel just from the stuff that I've seen, because you have these big hulking things that specialize in melee, and it ends up specializing in more kind of a turret defense type of game, or taking high sniper positions and stuff like that for the multiplayer. So it's definitely, it seems like it's a different direction, and it seems like it could... end up being really rewarding, but how Gears fans in general will end up going for it, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if it's a perfect fit for, like, the general Gears of War fan, but
they also said the same thing, people had similar fears about the multiplayer in Mass Effect 3, and that was really successful, so
yeah
that's true.
But yeah, I guess this one is like, people can fly, and I want to say one other company is working on this one, because Epic's working on something else. But but yeah, it's going to have the 4-player co-op that 3 had. And then the way it sounds is, like, it's supposed to be the little teaser trailer that you see is, like, you see Baird, like, in handcuffs.
Right.
And it sounds like what it's going to be is, like, you're taken to court, mm-hmm. and your testimony and everything is the game.
Interesting.
And it's going to have like sections in it, like that will be, I just heard little bits of this, but something about like declassified areas. So like if okay. you, if parts of the like court transcript get brought out, like, oh, they only did this section with this, or they did this, and like uh-huh. these things have become declassified, and so you can go back and like do it that way or do things certain ways. And I don't know. It sounded like an interesting way they wanted to make it so you could kind of do things like differently. The game's always kind of different.
Yeah,
like
you can make different choices and get more replay value.
Yeah, so, and then having like it sounds a little bit like sort of the Left 4 Dead thing where there's sort of a director that's kind of like watching you. So if you do things a certain way or things like that, it'll kind of like modify the game to kind of match that.
Okay.
It sort of sounded like that. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure they're going to throw out more details
as it
down
comes,
the road, but
it sounds like a really interesting idea. Also spinning gears in a new direction. It's like, you know, that's a very good, idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, unless more comes out and it look, and suddenly it looks like trash, it's going to be on my list as well. Like, great. There's another game that my wallet's going to hit me in the face.
Right. It's going to slap you.
Yeah.
But,
your wallet's just going to, it's going to fall on its knees crying. Why?
No,
don't kick me again. Oh, I can't take it anymore.
But I have to. And yeah, I guess when, I believe one of the playable characters is another female character. So that's cool. Because they had a couple in 3, mm-hmm. which was nice. So,
right.
Yeah, she seems friendly.
Change your pace.
I don't know if we wanted to talk any more about the Fable stuff at all, because it seemed really weird to me seeing the stuff that they had, because they tried to throw the extra little bit of polish by having the like live action guy trying to do like all these magical effects and whatnot, but it just, I don't know. It always feels like when you have to kind of distract the people from the gameplay that you're showing with stuff like that, you're probably on the wrong track, you know?
Yeah. I played Fable 2, enjoyed it a lot, didn't get to Fable 3 yet, haven't got around to it. But like when I saw what they were doing with Journey, I'm like the concepts ended up kind of interesting in the very when they were first announced it. I'm like, okay, that could be interesting, a little more linear than they've done in the past, but could be cool. And then I saw this, I'm like, huh. I'm not sure how
weird.
I feel about this.
Yeah, it seems like kind of a joke shooting gallery type of thing in a weird sort of way, you know?
Maybe they were just showing highlighting the new Kinect features, maybe, and it's not indicative of the whole game.
I know it's definitely a Kinect-only game.
Yeah. Oh, so it's not a better with Kinect. It's like this is
no,
a Kinect
this
title.
Is a full-on, full-fledged Kinect game.
Okay. So I think they did change directions a bit from when they first announced it. So.
And actually, I wanted to kind of bring that up, if nothing for no other reason than this. And I feel kind of weird because it's kind of ended up being me talking about a whole bunch of things that I'm not really into, but but something that
we're trying like. The point of this special episode is we're going to try to cover as much as we can. Obviously, we'll hit things that may not interest us completely, but maybe people out there listening are interested. We want to kind of hit everything. So.
Well, I'm just saying for me personally, like jumping off from the Kinect stuff, the new Kinect features on different games I thought were pretty interesting. And it's stuff that they were kind of promising with Kinect pretty early on, but seeing it become a little bit more real, at least without it being actually in my face and knowing how well it works.
Yeah.
The way it looked like it worked sounded pretty cool in sports games.
Yeah, the Madden demo was kind of awesome.
Yeah, I mean, number one, I grew up watching all of the 49ers stuff and being like a huge fan. So bringing Joe Montana out, he's like one of the most friendly guys you've ever seen in your life, as far as I can tell. Again, your individual experiences may vary.
Yeah, someone will tweet us like, man, that guy's a jerk.
Right, he's the worst guy ever. But But yeah, it was really fun seeing him seeming to genuinely have fun just doing his job again.
Yeah, and I thought that was like a really cool idea. I mean, I think all of us here, we're not really big sports gamers.
Not huge, no.
But just the fact that like using the voice stuff for it seemed like a neat idea.
It seems like a natural extension of that game.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really impressed by that. It did look like it had some little lag things.
Yeah.
But still, like, if this was just the beginning of it, I can see that stuff smoothing out pretty quickly. And actually, it's kind of ended up being my biggest problem with the Kinect so far, is that you have a lot of really cool games out there that use the features for it pretty well, but it still feels like its main weakness is that it can't have a fully fleshed out, like, real-time experience with the hand movement stuff.
Yeah.
Without, like, compromising in pretty major ways. And I think people have struck a lot of really interesting balances. Like, the Dance Central games, they ended up putting out that they're going to do a third one. And
that was...
Usher.
Yeah.
Not my favorite part of the event.
We'll not get into my hatred of Usher too much.
We're ushering in a new future or something.
Oh, man. Yeah. That guy, I don't know why, but that guy is so creepy to me. I need to stop.
Caleb and I earlier off air, we were like, you know what they really need to do, like 95% of the CEOs or execs that they have come out, like, for individual stuff or for stuff, you can really tell they're not, like, that isn't really their forte. It's not a knock against them. It's just like, you know what, maybe you should get someone else involved in the system or something to talk for you or something, because it makes you look awkward. It makes, like, the audience kind of feel awkward, and especially when a lot of them have, like, really thick French or Japanese or accents, and you're like, okay.
You can get a front man. It's not a huge deal. I know you feel like getting up there taking the credit, but sometimes the better party is the one that you step back and enjoy.
But don't try and pair them up with somebody too much, because that also gets kind of weird. Remember a couple of years ago, they tried to do that with Felicia Day at the Xbox conference, and it was not so good, because it was like she was like doing the best she can, but like the CEOs are just that little bit off, and so it throws off the pacing just a little too much.
It's just a bad idea having them up in the first place. They need to be going to corporate meetings, not stuff like this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, CEOs out there. I know you try, and I know you're proud of your product, but it's not your game, so to speak.
Yeah.
Go play another one.
But anyway, back to
Kinect and Dance Central. Well, they did the third one. They're doing a third one, and it seems like the big selling point at this point for each of the ones coming out is just whatever new songs are coming for it and whether you like specific dance moves.
Yeah.
And
I think, at least what I heard, I thought this one was adding like more multiplayer, like more people. I could be wrong on that.
I didn't see any evidence of it so far, but it sounds like something that they could probably do.
Yeah. You just would need a way big room, but I mean, it is a kind of a party game generally.
And it's funny seeing them like pull from a older cast of characters too, like rap stars from the 80s and whatnot. But
learning to do the hustle.
Heck, and 70s, 60s. We'll see how far they go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's neat seeing them kind of go that direction. But the thing that's always been interesting to me about Dance Central is that, in my mind, it's sort of cheating. Because all of the other games, they make you that person. And it's completely live. Like, you're actually doing the things, and you see yourself doing things wrong type of thing. Whereas Dance Central, you're just trying to mimic the person on the screen, and it doesn't end up like 100% all the time, but it ends up pulling off that feel like absolutely perfectly. So it's one of those compromises. You end up with a really finely polished game that looks really cool, but it doesn't end up quite delivering that full like 100% live action type of thing.
Yeah, of course. At the same time, do you really want to see the live action version of yourself doing some of those moves?
Well, and that's what I sort of wonder too. For just actually, if we could get people to throw in their opinions on this, I'd really be interested. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many of our massive legions of fans have played the game versus other games, but all of the other games, they do actually have the live silhouette at the very least of a representation of yourself, and they're still pretty popular. But from what I understand, Dance Central has kind of knocked it out of the park as far as a lot of the games. But it's weird too, because like one game will claim, oh, it's the massive biggest bestseller ever, and the next one will claim it's the massive biggest bestseller ever. So I don't know who quite to believe.
but
speaking on that, if you are just joining us, this is Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We're doing a special E3, all show E3 stuff. We are talking about the Microsoft portion of E3.
Specifically, just to start.
Just to start, specifically Dance Central 3 at this moment. But yeah, go ahead. I just
say that from what I understand, the sales numbers of Dance Central have more or less eclipsed any other Kinect only game, except for maybe like Gunstringer or something like that.
Well, I guess that ends up becoming the question then, like how it compares to. Since we ended up dominating all of the actual movement stuff really early, like how does Kinect compare to the selling numbers of Just Dance series and stuff like that?
Well, it seems to be pretty popular. I mean, we'll get into Nintendo in the next section of the show, but they talked about Just Dance 4. Yeah, so
I think it's doing well too.
It seems like that one and Dance Central are like the big ones.
Yeah. Right.
Are the two big.
And it seems like kind of for different reasons in a way, but
yeah, they have different focuses in the audiences to make those work.
Yeah. But yeah, I do, going back sort of, I don't know if this is true, but I had heard that when the Kinect originally sort of was being created or pitched and that sort of thing, that it did have more of the ability for like finger tracking and better trackings of things, but they took out like the processor or chip or things that could do that to cut down on cost.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's true. That's just some of the things I did hear about.
Okay.
I could see that totally happening.
Yeah, I could see that happening because, you know, it's like on the one hand, it's like, oh, you're losing that ability that it could have, but then Microsoft wants to get it out to people.
Right.
And they want to make it affordable. They want to make
exactly.
It's like it's $100. So it's like,
yeah, if they had kept that thing in and it was like 200 or 250, how many people are going to buy it? And then it's like, crap, no one's using it. But now that it's in a bunch of homes, and hopefully if that is the case, I would like to maybe see if they could, like, in the next whatever Xbox it is, maybe like put it in that, like put it in the actual system.
I sort of wonder if that was kind of the plan from the beginning, or at least it morphed into that pretty quickly.
Yeah,
because I'm sure they saw what the Wii did and how amazingly successful the Wii was, at least in the beginning. Now it seems like it's kind of waning at this point.
Yeah, well, it's only because it's been 6 years on the shelf. And
and the lack of, like, big properties coming in for it and stuff like that.
And not being HD, for one thing.
Yeah.
Is kind of, it's been a stumbling block for the Wii for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me included.
Yeah.
I definitely have something, like, I've wanted to say about Kinect. I don't know if there's some other things you want to mention, but I definitely
go for
want to say, like, I get a lot of people sort of complaining about, like, oh, we don't want this, like, jump up and down motion, you know, crap types of things. It's like, all right, but look at it this way. You got to start somewhere.
Exactly.
You look at, like, Iron Man and Minority Report and those cool things you can do. You got to start somewhere.
Right.
The voice control is awesome. I mean, just even using it in, like, Netflix, that sort of thing. I mean,
yeah, the other day I realized out of the blue, hey, I can turn on my game just by telling the Xbox, turn on this game.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
it's like, wow, I am kind of living in the future.
Yeah. Again, it's not always perfect, but you got to start somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And then,
but they've come really close.
Yeah.
It's like 90, 95% most of the time, it seems like.
Yeah. And they're getting, you know, better and better with each update. And then the other thing that I've never really noticed anyone really mention, it's maybe it's difficult to think about because a lot of it is motion stuff, but think about handicapped or older players or players that don't have the dexterity that they used to. The better that these kind of things get, the more like access that people with those disabilities or whatnot have to gaming.
Oh yeah.
You well, know, it's
I'm sure that's always the goal of every video game company is that they want to expand their well, who they can sell it to as much as they possibly can.
Yeah.
But it's funny. It's one of those weird little things. It's like, okay, technically commercialism isn't like the the best thing as far as trying to achieve the greatest things in the world and whatnot. But at the same time, all of the fringe benefits of it are really kind of amazing to me. It's in this case, I mean, it's exactly that. Like, all of these kids that wouldn't necessarily want to touch an Xbox because maybe their parents are always playing really serious stuff on it or whatnot.
Like, oh no, you can't play this game right now. We're playing Gears. Can't play this.
Yeah.
Right. Can't watch.
Out of the blue, Xbox suddenly becomes the game system that both the parents and the kids want to play.
Yeah.
Just by adding this one little thing. And I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still a chunk of change, but
yeah.
But for this drastic of a jump in technology and it being representative of maybe like two games, that's really not bad considering, like, it's not buying a whole new system to have some little thing happen. And I think they've done it in a really smart way too, by especially like we mentioned with the sports games, having it better with Kinect type of thing instead of just saying
you don't have to use it, but
exactly. And and yeah, like, it's weird for me, like, touting how awesome Kinect is. And I, in a lot of ways, I'm still on the fence as far as, like, how it's actually affected my life. But it ends up making me feel weird that I've never gone really deep into trying to do a lot of the voice commands in the games that I do have. But the one thing that, well, the actual movement games, and Dance Central got me hooked, like, right away. And
I'm
probably one of the few people out of my friends who actually danced in the first place, but it really changed the way that I looked at video games, actually making it into a fun experience where you feel like you're doing something and you're learning something and being active. And in the same vein, the different fitness series that have come out in the meantime have been really amazing too, in my view.
The U-shape, the new Nike Plus trainer.
Yeah, that was one they talked about in this conference.
Yeah, the Nike Plus, I don't have any personal, I don't have a dog in the fight type of thing with it. So I know they're trying to say that it's been this big thing for tracking points where everybody's getting involved and whatnot. I don't know anybody who does that, but I honestly, I don't have a lot of friends who are like super like athletic people.
Yeah.
And the ones that are, they don't really concentrate on stuff like that as much as learning how to like beat people into a pulp.
Yeah.
So
they have black belts, not running shoes.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But it's still a really amazing concept to me, like trying to coordinate something that's already kind of big and a very physical outside thing,
yeah,
and turning it into something where you can bring it into your house and
tapping into that whole multiplayer mentality that gamers have of like the higher score. Oh, my friend did this, I gotta beat that, you know, because a lot of times, like, you know, they always say when you're working out or something, yeah, bring a friend, because it's always fun to kind of like you'll push each other each other to do that extra rep, or you know, that extra time, or that's good, let's do that one, you know, type of thing.
Competitiveness ends up pushing people way farther and getting much better results than almost anything that you can think of.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, the whole and also like if you are into running or whatever, and like say you're in upstate New York and you have real winter with ice and blizzards and stuff, having something that can keep you kind of motivated to keep going even when while it's in your house is pretty
and competing with your friends in Pasadena.
You can still like, oh yeah, you guys are running out in the sand. Yeah, I turned in my laps. What you guys got? Oh, you're
right.
You were sitting on your butt. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, and then just that fact that you just use you, you know, to do the stuff is always like a nice thing. You don't have to pull something out of the closet or set up these are things. You can just turn it on.
Yeah. At most you move the coffee table.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if that's the worst you got to do, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
So, one of our, friends online mentioned, the Trey Parker and Matt Stone, doing their presentation, like how, comparing, contrasting, like the styles of presentation.
Yeah, that was good, especially when I forget which one it was, but it's like, if you imagine playing a game in the bathroom on your tablet while in the shower or something like that.
Holding your phone, which controlling your computer, which is in the fridge.
Yeah.
We can't either. that was a nice change of pace, I gotta say.
Like, well, so I guess sort of going off on that, did you want to move on to that aspect of the Microsoft conference?
Well, we might as well. I actually was kind of light on that. The only thing that I saw about it that I thought was really funny was just a little clip.
The smart glass is what we're
talking about. Yeah, smart glass. Moving
Definitely want to talk about that. That's easily the biggest thing for me out of the entire Microsoft ensemble.
It's pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah, right. They seem to push Connect still, which makes sense, and then this was kind of their big thing,
right? And it's to me, it's such a clever way to leverage a technology that's, I think we mentioned on one of the previous shows, this is a technology that is growing so incredibly fast across the world that it's kind of mind-blowing. Like, nothing has come this close since television, like way back in the 50s.
And television took a long time to catch on compared to the smartphone.
Right. Yeah. It's really amazing stuff. And it's funny because I still don't see absolutely everybody with them, but it's the fact that they kind of popped into people's hands at this amount, like in so short of an order, is still mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
And I know it's the furthering of the technology with 3G becoming 4G and whatnot.
Yeah.
Right.
But still, like, that, the ability to actually interact with things with your fingers and have that sort of live feel of moving things around and being able to trace like a simple line and crap like that.
Yeah.
It ends up growing on people really quickly. And as soon as I heard that they were trying to leverage basically every cell phone and every tablet out there into a Microsoft device, it was just like, wow, okay. Yeah. That's a pretty decent idea.
Yeah.
just to, just to clarify, in case you didn't see it, Project Glass is Smart Glass is a really unique system of combining an app on your smart device, Android, iOS,
absolutely every single one
Microsoft
of them
phone, Windows Phone, to your Xbox,
maybe BlackBerry, but
we'll see. We'll see
all the biggies.
We'll see how that claim goes.
Yeah, they'll get to that eventually, maybe. Yeah. But all the majors, like you use this app to interact with movies, games, your library. You can pictures every like it becomes an extension of your Xbox media library.
Yeah,
and you can if you are buying things like buying media through the Xbox store, you can watch it on these other devices, come back to your Xbox, pick it up again, and continue.
See, yeah.
Other things.
Right. And that's a really cool thing, and I'm glad that they're doing it. But honestly, that wasn't the big thing to me, because cable companies are already kind of doing that by, like, Xfinity allowing you a lot of the same ability with their rental service and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can grab things on your phone, continuing on your TV, and having Xbox kind of pick up and say, okay, that's easy enough for us to do. Mm-hmm. We'll do that. That's really cool. But to me, the bigger thing is this infinite possibility for creating an extra layer of interaction with different video games out there. And I really hope that some of the more popular games end up going back and releasing some sort of DLC or something like that that'll end up interacting further with this. I have a feeling it's going to be more classic, like everything from that point on is going to be that. But, I mean, just if you can imagine being able to have all of your menus just on a touch-sensitive device that's sitting on your lap instead of having to pull up, like, big radial things or, like, trying to play Final Fantasy or something like that, going through tons and tons of menus trying to set up your character and whatnot. If you could do that just by, like, moving your finger around a little bit on a touchpad, it's so much more desirable of an interaction. And it's, of course, why all of the iProducts have become all the current iProducts have become so insanely desired, is that interaction feels like super, super natural. And
it's pretty slick.
Yeah, right. I liked too that, I mean, they made the announcement that Internet Explorer was coming
right
to the 360 as well, and they talked about that, yeah, we heard you know, everyone was requesting it, but we wanted to wait till we had something like this because we thought that the controller itself wasn't a good way for searching the web, and then
it's not.
Having a keyboard in the living room was like, they didn't want that.
Right.
So having like,
I've tried that with my Microsoft Media Center, and it mostly works for some people, but you gotta be dedicated.
Yeah.
Right.
But the fact
those
that
dedicated people love it.
Yes.
Yeah. But continue. The fact that you can use your tablet or your phone to just scroll through things and point and click and pinch and pull and all that stuff is like, that's pretty awesome.
Which is funny too, because the people who end up getting really into the Media Center stuff, they end up pushing it farther and farther towards like, oh, well, I have it set up kind of in a neat way right now, but I really want to get this Logitech controller that has like the better buttons and learns all the things easier. And as soon as they get that, it's like, well, that's pretty cool, but there's this other thing that has, you can move your finger on it like it's a mouse and whatnot. That'd be really cool. And yeah, it's just funny how watching people who were into that, they have to make these little increments, whereas you have a smartphone, you have every good thing about all of that stuff, like, at your fingertips.
Yeah.
Almost immediately.
Yeah, and especially if your app is good. Like, I've seen some other, like, kind of, like, in-between steps for this, where it's, like, it's a IR blaster connected to your phone or smart or your tablet device via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen those, and those work pretty well. But, like, this is, like, if you can, like, make a whole system around it where everything hooks in pretty closely, that's so much nicer.
Yeah.
Well, and it made me wonder, too, if I hate to give them too much credit because they are mega corporation and I should naturally like kind of fear them and whatnot. But I sort of wonder if when they made the choice to have all of their peripherals be 802.11 based, if they weren't kind of thinking along these lines. I wonder if you could go back and see kind of the birth of all the smartphone stuff, how much of it was already thinking like, okay, we want it to be on a network. We want to be able to jump on as a device like that. And I wonder if they were kind of connecting the dots that early, like, okay, this is something that it's kind of a gamble because everybody loves the Bluetooth and whatnot.
Yeah.
But if we stick with this, we could possibly have like an instant in with all of the technology in the future. And I think it might have been one of their big gambles that paid off really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big thing about Wi-Fi is that you can get that to cover a house. You can't get that Bluetooth to do that. Bluetooth is a 30-foot radius max.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of way back, the Silent Film Festival, the 17th San Francisco Silent Film Festival, opens with a magnificent restoration of William Wellman's epic 1927 film Wings. Enjoy 18 classic silent films accompanied by musicians from around the world from July 12th to the 15th at San Francisco's beautiful Castro Theater. For more information, please visit www.silentfilm.org.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into the classics. So, yeah, I mean, they did seem... I kind of have a feeling that it's going to work best with Windows 8 stuff.
Yes.
But it is cool that they did mention iOS.
Yes, and, Android.
And Android and, you know, trying to push that your existing things could do it. Right. But
yeah. I think that's, to me, that's the smartest move. Like, it's like, yes, this is a Microsoft product, but if you are if you have to step outside, we'll toss you a line.
Yeah, because I would have never guessed in a million years that they'd make that move. To me, it's the smartest move, but everybody's so protective of their own stuff. They want to hawk their own stuff like there's no tomorrow.
Right.
I never, ever expected them to do that. And I'm sure, like you were kind of hinting at, it's going to be a better experience on the Windows-based machines.
Right, right.
But yeah, it'll be interesting seeing what like an Android adaptation and an iOS product adaptation are going to end up looking like, and see how user friendly they are compared to a Windows based setup.
Yeah, that's kind of what
I agree.
What they're thinking about what the Apple TV is going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what else have we got from Microsoft? Anything else you want to mention?
I'm kind of running low on stuff. I know there's more because Microsoft had tons and tons of stuff to show.
Yeah, they had lots of games and stuff, but that's kind of more third-party things.
Yeah.
One last thing about Internet Explorer. It's going to be Internet Explorer 10, which for those who are into web standards, it's the most web standards compliant Internet Explorer ever. It's actually kind of leading the way in some of the internet standards. So good on you, Microsoft, for not crippling your browser with insanity like you did in IE6, which is finally starting to die. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, overall, I mean, they showed off some cool 30-party games, which we're definitely going to hit. But for now, we want to hit
sticking to the systems to begin with.
System stuff, exclusive stuff. So I think overall, a solid conference. I mean, again, since they didn't have like this brand new system to show off, it's just kind of the usual things like, okay, Kinect, we're going to push that, which makes sense. And then I think probably their other biggest thing is just the smart glass,
which is pretty big.
Yeah.
Like how many years has the 360 been out at this point? It's been 5, 6.
Yeah, at six least or at seven, least six. Yeah. I think it came out in
because your live account says has a 6 on your number on it now. And
it's about 6 years old. At least, I mean,
to me that's the really huge thing to have a conference that was, to me, this exciting and to have that much buzz to it.
Yeah.
After 6 years into the console, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
definitely.
All right, before we move on to Nintendo,
mm-hmm.
I'll get this out of the way so we can just jump right into it.
Sounds good.
Go for it.
I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I mean, this is important. This is health fraud. The Food and Drug Administration advises you to be aware of health fraud. Be suspicious of products that claim to cure many diseases or that promise quick fixes. Remember that success stories are easy to make up. More information is available at www.fda.gov/healthfraud. And I'm going to read the different PSA at that time. I read the L when I should have read the M, but
that's okay. Dun, dun, dun.
I'll read the M when I read the L.
Inside.
Change it up for people.
There you go. Inside radio right there. All right. So moving on to Nintendo, and we just talked about how kind of big the Microsoft One was, and Nintendo is swinging hard too. They're pushing the Wii U, next big box.
This company had a new system to
push.
Yes,
they were the only company with a new box to show, new hardware to show off at the show. See, it's one of the things they brought, you know, they did kind of the classic presentation thing where, like, oh, 6 years ago we introduced the Wii to you.
Yeah.
And we changed the way gaming interactions happened, which is not a lie, but they didn't quite change it as much as they thought they did. And now they're now the Wii U, which is going to kind of expand their idea of changing interactions and making the gaming experience more social.
Yeah.
And one of the things that the word they kept using a lot was asymmetric gameplay.
And I noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, and to get into that, I'll have to jump down to the gamepad, but we'll get back to I'll get back to that in just a second.
Yeah.
the specs on this new box read sort of like the specs on the iPad. There's not a lot to it.
All right.
The CPU, IBM PowerPC based. That doesn't tell you very much.
All right.
Oh, they did mention that. I forgot to note in here, multi-core. So it's a multi-core system. But so is...
It better be at this point, yeah, so. I mean.
Yeah. GPU, AMD Radeon based. And that's all there is on that. They said it's HD, so there you go. Storage, okay. They have an onboard flash, they support SD cards, and they will also support mass storage via USB.
Okay.
And there are four USB ports, two on the front and two on the back. The media it accepts is a Wii U disc and the Wii discs. So, GameCubers, hold on to your Wii or keep your GameCube around because
that
support is now cut off.
Yeah.
Of course, considering how old that system is now, it's kind of to be expected.
Yeah.
It does have its networking capabilities in terms of, like, technology, not social networking. They have the gamut of 802.11s, B, G, and N. And they also apparently there's a USB LAN adapter. So if you want to hardwire your Wii into your Wii U into your network, you can do that.
That's okay. Good.
For audio, they are offering a 6-channel PCM linear output. For those who don't know, PCM is pulse code modulation, and it's a really high-quality audio codec used for Blu-rays and Super Audio discs when they were being developed. So it sounds really good. It's pushed out over HDMI, and they also have analog AV out through a special connector. I mentioned HDMI, yes, because video is next with 1080p support and 1080i as well, 720p, 480p, and I.
Hooray, welcome to the future, Nintendo.
All right.
Welcome to 2002.
Yeah.
The Wii U is very cool, and it's also a bit of, well, geez, finally.
Yeah.
It's both at the same time, which is exciting and annoying all at once. So they have HDMI support, obviously. They have the Wii D terminal, which apparently I think is a Japanese connector type. I don't think that we use it so much over here. It might be European also. They also have component, RGB, and S-Video. Somebody out there is still using S-Video.
Gotta rock the S-Video, baby. Super video!
Oh, man.
Super duper!
I still have a Pelican switchboard that has like the optional S-Video plugs on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Never used it because I would have had to use all S-Video.
Yep. It's cool when you have it.
Right.
But
it's better than not good.
it's better than that yellow thing you got, the one yellow plug. So that's it for the hardware on that side. And that's, you know, kind of it's more of the same kind. It's moderately exciting, moderately interesting.
The thing that is really exciting to me about that combination of things is that it's not really a combination of things that, considering what all it has with the system, which is what I assume you'll get into with the pad a little bit more.
Yes, the pad's coming next.
But yeah, having a pad with USB is honestly like a huge thing for me, because it's one of the biggest things that I think has kind of failed with all of the different pads and tablets and phones, is not being able to plug in extra peripherals super easy.
Yeah.
So they're opening up something really smart to me with that, and basically saying that, okay, we're going to have the option of plugging in a lot of stuff to it.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of stuff you probably already have around your house.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, the box itself, kind of cool, but not like mind blowing. Where all the real cool stuff happened for this is on the gamepad.
Yeah.
And the gamepad was originally announced, and they were going to say it's only going to do one. But they have amended that. Now you can do two.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And so what makes the gamepad sort of this weird, what makes it the big deal? Well, for starters, it has a 6-inch touchscreen built into the tablet itself. And it works with a stylus or your fingers.
Mm. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it does look like it's been redesigned from last year's E3.
Yes.
I mean, they changed the color. The one they showed off was black, but it's been redesigned, right?
Yes, like, the prototype from last year has been redesigned for comfort's sake. They moved the analog sticks a little further out, push the other buttons a little further in, so it's a little more follows the natural sweep of your joints a little bit better.
Okay.
There's still a D-pad, and the requisite A, B, X, Y, Z, and L, and R. You know, the little D-pad on one side, the little diamond of buttons under your right thumb, then there's the left and right shoulder buttons. Mm-hmm. The new ones for this controller are the ZL and ZR.
The triggers,
that's right. And the analog sticks are new. They're built into this one completely. It's not a add-on chuck. It's a built-on to this thing. And the sticks are also buttons. Welcome to 1998.
Yeah.
I remember the first mouse that I got that had like the button with the scroll, like little wheel. I was like, wow, how'd they do that?
Yeah. And I remember the first DualShock where the sticks were buttons. I was like, what?
You can click this. What?
My brain exploded back then on the PS1. Not that I'm... Anyways.
And I think only like two or three games used it. That was the funny thing to me. It was like,
yeah,
Jack. That's a cool little ability, but that favorite game of mine doesn't do it.
Jack
and Daxter.
Jack and Daxter and Ape Escape were the two ones that I can think of that actually used those at all. But Ape Escape was designed to show off the DualShock, so I don't think that really counts.
If it didn't use it, boy.
Yeah. Let's see. Other new functions are on the tablet controller, the gamepad, as a mic, a camera, speakers, headphones, and an NFC spot. The Skylanders game, where like the little figures have a little chip in them that will interact with the game. Things like that can be done with just the tablet. You don't have to get an extra device to plug into your system. It's just this, the gamepad does it all. They also have an IR blaster and sensor on the front of it, so you can push a button and make it be like a remote control for your TV.
Yeah, that's going to be a definite selling point, I think.
Yeah, it's one of the things that's like, that's kind of silly, but then you're like, wait, no, that's kind of brilliant. Yeah.
Right, Logitech is holding their breath right now, trust me.
Yeah. It also works as a cable box controller, and they also showed off video and voice chat. There's a way you can dock the tablet the gamepad, and it will let you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, welcome to 1992.
Yeah. one of our friends online reminded me that another cool thing they're doing is for the social side, they are now moving away from the friend code, because that friend code was a very unfriendly thing.
Yeah, yeah. And friend code? What kind of friend are you?
Yeah. Yeah. I
don't want to do math, all these numbers.
Yeah. Over to a more standardized naming convention like on Xbox Live.
Yeah. Right.
So, welcome to 2000 again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you'll get into it. They talked about some of the social things.
Yeah, the social things I'll get into it in just a moment. One other peripheral that they did mention a little bit about was the Pro Pad. And the Pro Pad is essentially the Wii version of an Xbox 360 PlayStation controller. More like a 360 than a PlayStation controller, but yeah.
very, very like.
Yeah.
It is weird. It's a weird hybrid of the two. It's like the placement of the actual controls. It, as far as just basically where they are, is more like a PlayStation, but the actual like handling it and the way it looks is so Xbox. It's
yeah.
It's like the little cut line on the top that differentiates the face from the rest of it. It's Xbox.
Yeah,
but hey, they're paying attention to the competition and what works for them, and they're figuring out how to make it work for them. Right. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. And so that's the hardware.
Yeah.
Your Wiimotes are still going to be a big part of this.
Yeah.
So hold on to those. The nunchuck, all those peripherals are still connecting. Now, you remember the Miis, the funny little characters that were your avatar in the Wii world?
Yeah.
Well, now they actually are more functional somewhat. They have this thing they're calling the Miiverse, which is kind of a gathering place for people, for gamers. Like they have their they have like a main street, and like your game titles are like little billboards along the street, and people that are playing the game are there, and they're all localized by language, so you won't necessarily be trying to talk to someone who's speaking Japanese only and you only speak English.
Oh.
So it's PlayStation Home, except that people might actually use this.
Pretty much.
They stressed it as like, what do they call it? Like Main Street or some sort of like a street. Mm-hmm. And then here's these little billboards and signs and these things. And all the Miis are gathering together, like you said. And
yeah, so like your Mario Kart one will have a bunch of people around it. Mario Brothers will have some people around it. Like, yeah. You know,
and you can like, I think there's, I mean, I don't want to cut off what you were saying, but you'll be able to like enter in text or even like write stuff in and draw stuff, I think, too.
Yeah,
that's scary.
the new chat system is designed to be social while in game and while in Main Street, so you can like throw up a little picture, you can share screenshots, you can type text messages, you can draw little pictures, make cards, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
All using the gamepad. They also are integrating a web browser into the gamepad, and from there you can move information from the gamepad to the TV and back again.
Yeah. Because that's kind of like the big thing that they're pushing with this system seems to be, which it's funny, it's like a very, it is kind of like a Japanese sort of thing. Like when mm-hmm. you think about it, like where the Kinect is, you know, big rooms and you know, having space and all that stuff. It's like where in Japan, like space is very, very like limited.
Right. It's a premium.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So
your bathroom is a living room.
Yeah. So where this is like, well, if someone's using the TV, you can still play your game
mm-hmm.
on the screen on the controller.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that at all. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And like, or say like, you know, you want to play Zelda and you want to play Zelda all day.
Yeah.
Your apartment mate, whoever that might be, might not want to play Zelda all day.
Yeah, they want to do something else, watch something else, or
mm-hmm.
probably maybe even play something else. Who knows how?
Yeah. So
an Xbox, maybe. Probably not. But.
Yeah. But you know, that's an aspect of the pad that I forgot to mention, is that it will mirror the game on the system and back and forth.
Yeah.
This Miiverse will actually also integrate into the games themselves. Like the new Mario Brothers game they were showing off, it has a overworld map part of it, kind of like Super Mario and Mario Brothers 3.
Okay.
Where like you there's the individual like world 1, world 2, but there's also you move through the map to get to all the different sections.
Okay.
And like your friends like will have pop-ups that will like someone left a note for you here. It's like, oh, like out for the blooper in this section. Or,
oh yeah,
I had a heck of a time with this jump. Or you know, your friends can leave notes or just even say cool things that they did there. Like they found like a secret. Like, oh, make sure you do this when you get there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. And you can post these messages without quitting your game. Yeah.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah. So you can like.
It sounds almost like Animal Crossing for an entire system.
One of the guys who was influential in putting the social aspect together was one of the leads for Animal Crossing.
There you go. That's that.
Then the 3DS is still the 3DS. Not much changing there.
Yeah. Just adding some. You know, mm-hmm. Obviously having some more games. I know they did mention sort of going back to the Wii U controller pad tablet thing that they showed off some of the games where like if one person had that and the other people were using like the Wiimote, like mm-hmm. you'll be able to do like different things in the game, like kind of making it special,
mm-hmm.
but also making it kind of fun to like, you know, here, okay, you use the tablet this time, and then we'll use the...
Yeah, okay. Thank you. That brings it back to the word they keep using, asymmetric gaming.
Mm.
And the asymmetric gaming is exactly what you're talking about. Like, one person, and one of the better examples is their kind of... their Wii Sports for the Wii U. They call it Nintendo Land.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. Okay.
Yeah, so this is a blending of... a lot of this conference is about pulling things together. And this is one of them. So in the demo that they had on screen, like the person with the pad can see they showed Luigi's Mansion. That it was the whole visual map. They can see the whole thing, all the players, everything, all the time. All the other players with their Wiimotes are looking at the TV screen, and they can see most of it, parts of it, but it's mostly kind of dark. So you kind of like you have your flashlight to try and walk around.
Yeah.
But like they and the person with the pad is controlling the ghost.
Yeah, and they could, the person with the pad could see the ghost, but the other people couldn't because it wasn't showing up on the TV.
Yeah,
so
that's and so there's things like that. They showed they kind of hinted at in other games, like in the Mario Brothers one. They could actually like the person with the pad could actually put extra bricks on the screen, so you could jump and reach places you couldn't reach without them. It's kind of pulling in some of the aspects that they brought into the Mario Galaxy game, where you could have a second player with you, like grabbing stars and bouncing you into different places using different abilities and stuff. So
okay.
Did they mention anything about how they're planning on using the new setup with like Epic Mickey with a sequel to that?
Not yet. Okay. I know there's an Epic Mickey in the works for it, but they didn't highlight it in this demo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to get back into that a little bit, just because that sounded like it was going to be one of the more interesting games for them spreading it out to the different systems.
Yeah.
Just because a lot of the idea was kind of that sort of same thing, mm-hmm. and now that I'm hearing this, it actually makes a lot of sense that it would fit back on kind of its home turf a little bit better also, because it's a multiplayer but it's pushing towards like different uses of the two characters, and so having a completely different way of manipulating one character versus the other is a pretty good way of doing that.
And there's a lot of things like that whether it's like the pad has a like 100% different function from the screen,
mm-hmm.
but it still integrates with the game itself. They showed it off with some of the other third party games, which we'll get into later.
If they had specific things, go ahead and mention
okay, like Arkham City Armored Edition.
Yeah.
Batman Arkham City Armored Edition. They, you know, the pad was essentially your bat computer. Like you'd hit the button to pull it up before, but now it's on the screen. It's in your hands. You're like, okay, I need to, that batarang goes and,
yeah.
Oh, and the pad is also gyroscope and accelerometer. So
yeah.
So your Wiimote, you can still tip, turn.
Yeah. Yeah. Shake. Cause I think one of the things was like one of the batarangs, in the game is a remote controlled one. And mm-hmm. so now you'll mm-hmm. use the pad thing to actually control it and stuff. So
yeah. And as I was in the screen also works as an indicator for certain extra abilities that Batman has. Like,
yeah,
you'll see it build up and like, oh, time to activate the armor and boom. Now you can do extra things. Scribble Knots game, you know, obviously there's your main game up on the screen and then you can do the scribbling on writing on the pad.
Yeah.
Zombie U made a lot of use with like different types of views that you can use in the game.
That one for me, just, I mean, the genre itself is cool.
Mm-hmm.
That one was really interesting to me, just showing like how you could pick it up and aim it at the screen to like scan things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they showed like the guy running up to hacking into like a keypad locked door, and like you'd run up to it and it would like show up on the tablet to like the touch screen to like try to hack it.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the TV, like the camera flipped around so you could see like behind you the zombies coming at you, so you had to, you know, hurry to type it in.
That's cool.
But sort of other little things like that. I mean, to me, it'll be really cool to see how they use that extra screen to eliminate you having to go into menus or like stopping mm-hmm. the game mm-hmm. itself to load this thing up or this or that. Like,
right.
To me, that seems like one of the coolest things about,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Wii U itself. It's like, if they're going to be able to keep the game flowing without you having to like stop to open this, to do this, like you can just do it all like on
right.
the fly.
Yeah.
And also like, you know, the number pad, like in so many other games, it's a move your stick up, left,
yeah.
right, A, up, down, down, left, right, A, up, up, F, left, left, right, A, def, oh, I missed it. Ah, shoot. No.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, your button, the buttons,
you're
like,
literally
you just
like
push buttons.
Yeah.
As if you actually were.
Like, yeah. There's, and like, or like say like they, one of the things they also showed was like the sniper scope on the rifle.
Oh yeah.
It's like you look up at the big screen and you can see the world. You lift you go into sniper scope mode.
Yeah,
you lift the pad up and it's in front of your face and you're now zoomed in. You can kind of like gauge on this big screen. Okay, it looks like a zombie over there. Oh, there he is. Boom, headshot. All
yeah.
right, man, another one over here. Headshot. You know, it's that kind of stuff. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely threw out some interesting ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Only time will tell how people use it.
Right.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like like when the Wii first launched. Conceptually, very strong. Execution, yet to be seen.
Yeah.
But since it looks like they're building on what they did with the Wii, it looks like they might actually get a much further.
Yeah.
On this experiment.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, anything else from the land of Nintendo or anyone out there in our audience tossing anything out? Or
one of our friends was saying that they're looking forward to another Epic Mickey game. The first one was a lot of fun, but it had some major camera flaws.
Yes.
Honestly, your worst enemy in that game was the camera.
Was the camera, yeah.
The other enemies were tough, but your worst enemy, the freaking camera.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's... it looks like that'll be a... It'll be interesting to see how they move with that through that one.
Yeah.
The little bits that I've seen have really stressed that they redeveloped the cameras. So.
But yeah, as far as like the Wii U itself, I'm like impressed. I mean, I'm definitely, if you took like the Wii and the Wii U, like the Wii U just seems way better, you know, like.
Yeah. It's a much more polished product than the Wii. The Wii was,
it's a more grown up invention.
Yeah,
yeah. Like the Wii was almost pure concept. They're like, okay, they kind of blue skied their ideas a bit. They like said, what's the possible way of doing this, and what can we do, like, just go crazy.
Yeah.
So they did that, and it was quite successful. They've pulled six years of, I mean, of entertainment out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, okay, we got this far. Where do we go now? Where do we push? How do we push this even further?
Exactly.
And they realize that some of the motion control stuff is interesting, but it's not as practical as it could be.
Right. Yeah.
And the sensors
pushing it forward to the next generation is actually a really good idea too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they did what Nintendo does with their systems.
Yeah.
They introduce a new generation to video gaming.
Exactly.
I mean, I had an Atari, but when I got the Nintendo NES, I mean, mm-hmm. Super Mario Brothers, I mean, it introduced me to gaming. So it's like that's what they did with the Wii. I mean, you could argue, it's not super hardcore gamers, but you know what? I think it was for just introducing that next generation
to the idea
kids
of gaming
and just gaming, and
that's
always a good thing in my book, getting mm-hmm. more people gaming. So
exactly, for lack of a better word, I think that one of the things that Nintendo does best is they humanize gaming. They make it like about people, whereas like not that, you know, Gears isn't about people, like, because the multiplayer is a big part of it, but it's a very particular brand of personality that's drawn to, like, Gears and Call of Duty and all those other games.
Yeah.
So, and Nintendo has a little bit broader scope of the people that they can draw in. And also, like, you get the diehard fans of, like, Zelda and Mario Brothers, and then, like, they bring their friends in with them, and they get them excited about whatever it is they're doing. And,
yeah.
And with a lot of these collaborative and elements, and, like, say your friend isn't a great platformer, but you give them the pad, and now they can... They're not jumping through everything, but they're like, okay, you want to get to that platform? Oh, sure, here we go. We got enough stars to put a thing there, jump on that one, put a thing there, and then you're still playing the game, you're interacting with your friends. But if running through a four-player match of Super Mario Brothers is not your strong suit, you now have another way to interact with them without sitting on the couch going, oh, that's really interesting, guys. I've been doing this for 2.5 hours now. This is... Great. I'm going to get a sandwich. And then
I think as long as they keep the price of the system at a reasonable price.
What is the price point? Have they shared yet?
That is one of the kind of... That's the other nebulous thing about this system. It's coming out in the holiday season, which is a nebulous time. And pricing is...
There's no pricing.
I think if they can keep it at a decent enough price... I don't see why it won't sell well.
The real kicker is, like, where are they going to put it? Because, like, the 3DS, like, it did okay, but it wasn't until they took a huge chunk off of it, like, brought it down to 170 before it started selling.
Got some more software for it, which it sounds like they've sort of learned from their mistake from that. So the Wii U, it seems like it's going to have some better launch titles, possibly.
Yeah, it's launching with over 20 different titles, 30-some-odd titles. So it's...
Like a Mario game and some pretty staple character ones, which was what most people like with Nintendo systems. So that's always like...
One of the big ones being Pikmin. They're bringing Pikmin back, and the demo looked freaking awesome. It was beautiful.
Yeah, that was one of the weird things. It was like some of the games looked really nice, and then some of the others are like... Well, I don't know. Maybe they're just not that far in the development stage yet.
The thing that's always been interesting to me about Nintendo's pricing for whenever they launch things is, to me, it's always been a completely illogical price. But they're able to pull it off because people want it so bad. Like, to me, the Wii, up until very recently, has always been an overpriced system. But it was such a unique thing for so long that every kid wanted one. And so they got to that amount for every single one of those systems. So that's what makes me kind of nervous about them with the Wii U. I have a feeling it's not going to be cheap.
No, I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it'll be cheap, but it might be competitively priced. Because, like, the thing that's really going to, like, pull them over the coals is going to be the gamepad. Because like that's a significant chunk of technology in that thing, and the touch screens, while they're dropping in price, are still not cheap by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah,
and the amount of batteries you're gonna have to pack into that thing to make it work.
That's for, true.
Yeah, an extended period of time. Like there is some massive engineering going on to make like R&D like must not have been sleeping for this entire time to make this happen, because like there's a lot of engineering coolness that's gone into this. So
it, honestly, to me, it doesn't seem like anything that far-fetched. It's just grabbing the things from different places and combining them in an interesting way.
Yeah, not far-fetched, but it does take a lot of time to make it work like you want it to, though.
That's true.
And to package it correctly, which it seems like they've done a pretty decent job of the packaging of it this time around. So we shall see.
Yeah. But overall, I'm more impressed with the system this year than I was last year. Like last year was kind of I don't really know what to make of this that much. But now
definitely have a solid idea of where they're going with it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. It's not just a conceptual piece anymore. It's conceptual with execution.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
to me the difference is they hired the Animal Crossing guy.
Yeah, the Animal Crossing guy is also the one that designed the Nintendo Land. So,
oh, okay, that makes sense. It seems like it would fit. And then the other main thing too is just like when the other two big boys introduce their new systems, like, you know, what's going to happen with the Wii U as far as like, you know, specs wise and all that sort of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But again, like the Wii was nowhere near the 360 or the PS3, but it ended up still selling well. So,
right.
Yeah. And it's like, in that case, they're almost like an Apple product. Like the specs of the item matter less than the things you do with it.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you can argue that it's not as hardcore as, say, a PS3, but it's reaching a different way.
Yeah, right. if you still have fun,
then
if they make the right games for it and use what it can do correctly, it's
it'll matter less that it's not the greatest specs. It's because the games are so much fun.
Yeah, yeah, Nintendo was very open about that choice.
Yeah.
on the Wii. So
yes, and it looks like they've played their catch up to the specs. They've played the specs catch up game, which leads them into pushing the expansion of the way the technology operates with the people in further now.
Yeah.
I'm guessing a lot of the fuzziness on the actual like numbers of how fast the things are going to be and whatnot is literally because they're going to take at the very last minute the best thing that they can get for the best price, and that's going to be what ends up on the thing.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. One last note that I almost forgot to mention. They also know that it's going to be a living room box. So it has Netflix, Hulu,
YouTube,
and there was one other one that I can't think of right now.
Amazon.
Instead. Amazon, yeah. So they have the four major streaming players.
Food groups.
Yeah, your four major food groups in internet streaming for video are available on launch day. So there you go.
Cool. Yeah. Overall, you know, some dorky stuff in the presentation, but...
Oh, man.
But, you know, there was dorky stuff in the Microsoft one as well.
Yeah,
so.
but the Nintendo one was just... It was so painful to watch that. Like the other ones I kind of got through, but that one was just kind of like, oh, Nintendo. Just, oh, man, this guy right here. Oh.
Yeah, I started watching the entire Microsoft thing, and I could not stand it. I had to go to like actual just scenes about products because there was no way that I was sitting through all that. So yeah. I can't even imagine the pain that would be involved with Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was special.
It was
yeah.
At least the Xbox One had a nice breather with when Trey Parker and Matt came out and like, they're actually entertaining.
Yeah.
Then theirs was criminally short, and then they had to get him.
Yeah. Then they literally had to get back to working on the game.
Yeah. So.
All righty. Well, before we get to our music break, I need to tell you that you can stream KSCU wherever you are, not near radio. You could just go to www.kscu.org and never be without the underground sound. Now, normally, our show ends at 9, but you know what? This is a special show because we're doing E3. We're going to take a quick little music break to kind of let us relax a little bit from the talking, let you soak in all the information that you just got. And after that, we're going to come back with Sony and the third-party stuff. So, again, this is Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. We appreciate you sticking around, and we also want you to participate. Caleb's going to tell you how you can do that.
That's right. For starters, our own website is robotsattack.me. It has an interact button, which has a page which links to all of our other things, like our Twitter account, which is robotsattackme, and our Facebook page. You'll need to use the link because the URL is lame. Or you can do a search on Facebook itself, and we will be there. Robots Space Attack.
Need some more likes. If you can get yourself to and your friends to like us, then it'll make it easier finding us.
Yes,
on
indeed.
Facebook.
And then email us, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. I have all of these open right now, keeping an eye on them. We've been having people interact with us.
Which is great. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you. And if it wasn't you, it could be you.
Yeah, I like that. I like it.
Yeah.
Give them the incentive. I want to participate on the radio show.
Yes. You are a part of this. We want you to be more a part of this. Interact with us.
Yes.
But now to music.
Now to some music, and then we'll be back with more E3.
Woo, E3.
All right. We are Robots Attack.